I have prepared my message tonight in the light of the past several weeks and days that you've experienced heartache and trouble and trial. And I pray that the Lord will give me some words that will be of comfort at this time. Where do the people of God find help and strength and comfort in days like these? Where do we go? I tell you where we go. We go to His Word. We turn to the precious, great and precious promises of God's Word. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians just for a moment. I'm coming to my text in just a few moments. The 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Would you turn there, and I want you to read it with me. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 13, Paul said, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Yes. He's not only the God of all grace, He's the God of all comfort and all strength and all hope. Now look at verse 4. "Who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." I've been where you are. I've hurt like you've hurt. And I've found comfort the same place you find it. God's Word. Through the years, I've had people call me on the telephone when they find out that Doris and I've had some of the problems that you have experienced. A son killed in the war and a daughter the Lord took by cancer. And even total strangers will call me and say, "Would you, one of my children died or someone in the family passed away, would you say some words that will comfort me?" And I try my best. But words don't comfort. It's the Word of God that comforts. It's not just words. If people just understand that, it's not just words. Poems won't comfort. The Psalms of David will. The sayings of men will not comfort. The sayings of the apostles and the prophets, that's our comfort. And that's what he says here. He comforts us, verse 4, in all our tribulation, that we may be able. And you can't comfort till you've been comforted. You can't weep with others until you've wept yourself. And we weep with those that weep. "But we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So I'm turning in the book of Revelation, if you'll turn with me this evening. Revelation chapter 14. Revelation 14, verse 13. Just one verse of Scripture will be the text for my message. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. Revelation 14, verse 13. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them." This is John, the beloved disciple, writing. here in the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of John, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he's writing here, and John, all the apostles are dead except John. All of them have been martyred except John. He's 90 years old here, and he's in exile on the Isle of Patmos. And he said, I heard a voice from heaven. I heard a voice from heaven. The same voice, John, that said, one day let there be light. That's the voice.
Yeah, amen.
The same voice that one day said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. It's the voice of God. I heard a voice from heaven. And the voice said, what did the voice say? It said, write. Write, John. Don't just trust your judgment now. Don't just trust your memory to repeat it. You write it. You write it in the scriptures. This is the infallible, inerrant, verbally inspired Word of God. Now you write it. And write it for everybody to hear. And write it for everybody to read and to heed and to believe. Write it. Old Job said, oh, that my words were written in a book. And they were. Oh, that my words were engraved on my tombstone with a lead pen. Oh, that my words were engraved in the rock forever. I know my Redeemer liveth. And on this earth he shall stand. And here the Lord says to John, write. Write. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. This is eternal truth, sweeter than honey. This is a treasure more precious than gold. This will calm your fears. This will heal your broken heart. This will give you peace and joy and hope. This will give you comfort in your sorrow. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. And this will rob death of its sting and the grave of his victory. Yes, it will. Take the sting out, and certainly will not give any victory at all. Write it, John. Preach it to everybody. Tell it to your children. Mm-hmm. Tell it to your little ones. Tell it from the day they first hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Tell it to your children. Now the Lord didn't say, blessed are all the dead. No. That's not what he says here. Look at it again. And I heard a voice from heaven say, right, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Multitudes of people die every day who are not blessed. Unfortunately, I wish it were not so in my human heart. Multitudes of people die all the time of whom it cannot be said, blessed. But precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of Brother Bill.
Amen.
Precious in the sight of the Lord. Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my latter end be like his. John said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Now, if they do not believe on the Son, you can't write blessed.
No.
You can't write blessed. So the voice says, John, write for all to hear and to heed and to believe. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Now here's my desire right now is to give you the answer to this question, who dies in the Lord? who's in the Lord? Of whom can it be said, he's in the Lord? Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. What does it mean to be in the Lord? I'll tell you about five things. Now here's the first one. To be in the Lord is to be in the Lord by a divine covenant. Now that's just a big word that means God's kingdom. That's God's kingdom. He has translated us. He has delivered us from darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. The covenant kingdom. The kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. David, man after God's own heart, was 75 years old and he lay dying. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. David, God's mighty warrior. David, of whom God said he's a man after my own heart. David, of whom God said, of your seed, I'll put him on the throne. Of your seed will spring forth the Son of God. David, 75 years old, and he came to his last breath and his last words. And they're recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 23. He said, although it be not so with my house, God has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And this is all my salvation and all my desire. That's it. That's it. The Lord hath made with me an everlasting covenant. And the Apostle Paul had this to say about that covenant. He said, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be in the Lord, to be in the covenant of His grace and mercy given to all of His people through the Lord Jesus Christ. In the covenant, in the kingdom, in Christ, and Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. Secondly, what does it mean to be in Christ? To die in Christ. Well, it's to be in Christ by divine covenant, and it's to be in Christ by divine choice.
Yes.
He said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I chose you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. Not because we were, that we should be holy.
Yes.
And without blame before Him, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of Son by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of His own will. We're in Christ. By divine covenant and by His divine choice. Somebody asked a friend of mine one time, said, do you believe in election? He said, well, not really. He said, well, can I ask you three questions? Yes, if you'd like to. Now you answer them with the scripture now. Answer with the scripture. Here's the three questions. Did you choose God or did He choose you? Well, the fellow said, well, He chose me. When did He choose you? Well, before the foundation of the world. Well, why did He choose you? According to the good pleasure of His own will. That's right. According to the good pleasure of His own will. 'Tis not that I did choose thee. For Lord, that could not be. My heart would still refuse thee. But thou hast chosen me. 'Twas sovereign mercy that called me. For thy rich grace I thirst. I know this, that if I love thee, you must have loved me first. That's what the scripture says. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. We know that all things work together for good to them who love God, who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow. He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. And whom He did predestinate, them He called. Whom He called, He justified. Let me tell you this. Them He glorified. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. By divine covenant, by divine choice. Salvation's of the Lord. I wouldn't have it any other way, would you? I couldn't be certain at all that I was saved unless God did it. Unless God did it. All right, number three. To be in Christ is to be in a divine, eternal covenant. It's to be in Christ by His own choice. And thirdly, is to be in Christ through His precious blood. Listen to the Apostle Peter. For as much as you know this. I'm not telling you anything new. You know this. For as much as you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but with what? With what are we redeemed? The precious blood of Christ. As a lamb without spot and without blemish. Manifest in these last times for you who by Him do believe. Do believe. You know, a lot of people will find this interesting. The way that a word is used first in the Bible, the way a word is used first usually is the meaning of that word all through the Scripture. What's the first time that the word grace is used in the Bible? G-R-A-C-E, grace. I'll tell you. It's in the book of Genesis where God said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And sovereign grace, redeeming grace, prevenient grace, grace, that's what it means all the way through. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What about the word hyssop? A lot of people don't pay attention to the word hyssop. But David thought a lot about it. He said, purge me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. David said that on Psalm 50. Lord, purge me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. What's the first time hyssop is used? Turn with me to the book of Exodus chapter 12. Here's the first time that the word hyssop is used in the Word of God. H-Y-S-S-O-P. Hyssop. Hyssop. It's in Exodus chapter 12, verse 22. Now listen. Now, this is a Passover lamb. Moses, God was going to pass through Egypt and destroy all the firstborn. And Moses told the Israelites, he said, take a lamb without spot or blemish, slay that lamb, and then dip, take your hand and get some hyssop and dip it in the blood and put the blood on the doorpost. Here it is, watch it. Exodus 12, verse 21. Exodus 12, 21. Then Moses called for the elders of Israel and said to them, draw out and take your lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop. That's a little plant. Not so big. They had in those days. And that's where the high priest would take that little bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood. Put it on the doorpost. Hyssop. And you take the hyssop and dip it in the blood and it's in the basin. Strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood in the basin. And none of you go out of the door of your house in the morning. And when I see the blood, I pass over you. And that's what we're talking about right here. In whom we have redemption through His blood, our lamb, the Passover lamb, the forgiveness of sin through the riches of His grace. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that washes me white as snow. No other fount, I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sing that song, under the blood of Jesus, safe in the shepherd's fold. Under the blood of Jesus, safe while the ages roll. I'm safe, though the world may crumble. Safe, though the stars grow dim. Under the blood of Jesus, I'm secure again. We're in Christ by divine covenant. We're in Christ by His divine choice. We're in Christ because of His precious cleansing blood. And then we're in Christ. Watch this now. To be in Christ is to be in Christ by precious faith. Yes. Precious faith. My daddy, when I grew up, we grew up, I didn't grow up in a Christian home when I was a little boy. My dad was a heavy drinker and all that goes with that sort of thing. And then when I was about 11 or 12 years old, the Lord saved him. And like Brother Barnes said, he's well saved. He really was. He loved the gospel. And he gave me a Bible. And he underlined a verse of Scripture in the Bible. John 5:24. I'll let you read it with me. John 5:24. My dad was a man of very few words. He didn't have much to say except do this and do that and straighten up and fly right and things like that, you know. But I appreciate him. He was a good dad. But he gave me this verse of Scripture, John 5:24. And listen to it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, truly, truly, I say unto you, John 5:24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but he's already passed from death unto life. Oh, by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you want me to sum up the faith that saves, it's to believe God. Abraham believed God. I didn't say believed in God. He did believe in God. But I say that he believed God. He believed God. He believed the Word of God. Precious faith. You know, the Word of God in Peter's epistle, it talks about several things that are precious. Very precious. He says His blood, to you that believe, He's precious. His blood is precious. His promises are precious. The cornerstone on which we're built is elect and precious. And we're redeemed through precious faith and precious. In the sight of the Lord is the death of His people. That's a precious time. Now, it's a tough time. But it's a precious time. It's a precious time. And it's something for which and to which that this 80-year-old fellow is looking forward to with great anticipation, to be with the Lord. I'll be satisfied when I awake with His likeness. Not really satisfied until then. That's honest. That's just so. To be in Christ. All right, let's see and get this fifth thing. It's to be in Christ by divine covenant. It's to be in Christ by divine choice, His choice. He chose us. It's to be in Christ because of His precious cleansing blood, the fountain that washes white as snow. It's to be in Christ by faith. Not without faith. Now, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You're not going to be saved with, you're not going to be saved without faith. You're not going to be saved without the Word and faith. The Spirit and the Word. Got to hear the gospel.
Yes.
Got to hear the gospel. The gospel is the power of God and salvation. And then, to be in Christ is to walk and work in Christ. That's right. It's to walk in Christ. It's a divine union. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Read my text again. Revelation 14, verse 13. Listen to it. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth." Yes, said the Holy Spirit. The Heavenly Father said this. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit spoke up and said, "Yes, that's so, that they may rest from their labors." And what does that say then? "And their labors and their works be found them." Their works do follow them. All believers have good works. James said, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead." I want you to turn to Acts chapter 9 with me for a moment. Acts chapter 9. I want you to see this now. Acts chapter 9, verse 36. Here's a story of a lady by the name of Dorcas. And let's see this right here. Acts chapter 9, verse 36. Everybody got it? Let's read it. "And there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. And this woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did." That's God's people, all full of good works. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." A man is in Christ to walk with Christ. And he'll walk in the direction Christ is going. And he'll do the deeds that Christ did. Yes, he will. He'll love others. He'll forgive others. He'll have fruits of faith. Faith, love, meekness, humility, all it, that's works of faith. Let's keep on reading now. "Came to pass in those days that Dorcas was sick, and she died. Whom when they had washed, they laid her in the upper chambers. And for as much as Lydda was near to Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there. And they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay, but come to them. And Peter rose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and the widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord." This woman was a woman who served the Lord, had good works. And all God's not going to raise all of his people from the dead, but he's just showing us this incident, this woman. God used her to be blessed so many people. And that's what the Spirit is saying here in Revelation 14, 13. Let's look at it now, and I want you to see something here now. All right, let's read verse 13 again. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, said the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Now their works don't precede them. the good works that they do here on this earth, they don't precede them, because Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. Your works don't prepare a place for you. I prepare a place for you. And then their works do not accompany them. Their works do not accompany them to plead their case before God. But their good works follow them. Their good works follow them to the praise and glory of Almighty God as evidence that they belong to Him. Isn't that right? Their good works. This Bill, that man labored here in the service of the Lord. What a wonderful, like all of you fellas and ladies that are so precious, and God has brought you here together all these many years, and you've supported your pastor and prayed for him, and you prayed for one another, and you've raised your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You've been gracious, loving, sweet, wonderful people for the glory of God. But your works, you've got works, plenty of them, plenty of them. But they don't precede you, and they don't accompany you, but they sure do follow you. I told you he was a believer. I told you that he knew the Lord, walked with the Almighty, walked with God. And a man who walks with God has the works of God.
Yes.
When I stand before his throne, dressed in beauty, not my own, when I see thee as thou art and love thee with an unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, and not till then, how much I owe. Chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, hidden in my Savior's side, by His Spirit sanctified, teach me, Lord, on earth to show, by Your love, how much I owe. Show me. Teach me, Lord, on earth to show, by Thy love, and by Thy grace, and by Thy goodness, how much I owe. That's how it's shown. Now I'm going to give you something that I preached a long time, a lot of years. And the Lord's been pleased to take a lot of my dear, dear, dear friends to glory before I go. And I've had the privilege of having a part in their memorial services. And here's something that I read quite often for the people at home when the Lord is pleased to take one of our loved ones away. And I can give you this, pass it along to you, and I hope it's a blessing to you. No words can make these trials any easier. No words can dry your tears and dispel your loneliness. But perhaps by reading these words, some of the things that we know and believe will provide for you comfort in this difficult time. It's a difficult time. But we've got to have His comfort. And here's what I say. Those who have gone on are with Christ in glory. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. They wouldn't come back here to this earth even if they could. I've heard people say, well, I'd like to bring them back. Well, I got some of that in me too. But they're not coming back. They don't want to. They're with the Lord. Secondly, they're perfect. They're perfect in soul and body. No more pain, no more sin, no more tears, no more sorrow. They are satisfied in His likeness, perfectly holy. What's the body going to be like that's raised from the tomb? What's it going to be like? Like the body of Christ.
Yes.
When our Lord Jesus Christ arose from the grave, he appeared to his disciples, and they were afraid. They thought they'd seen a ghost. And he said, "It is I, myself. Be not afraid. Reach hither and touch my hands. Touch my, feel my side. It's us, it's me, it's myself." And they still didn't believe. And he said, "Have you got something to eat?" One of them said, "We've got some fish and a honeycomb." He took it and ate it. What's the body going to be like when our Lord calls us home? He said to the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." It'll be a perfect body in glorified flesh. That's right. It'll be myself. Now you think about that. Perfect. Perfect. And let me tell you this, thirdly. Those who've gone before us have no unpleasant thoughts or memory of anyone or anything on this earth. The former things are passed away. For God makes all things new. So don't grieve over any neglect that you're concerned about, or any deed, or any unkind word. It's all forgotten in his presence. "I wish I'd have done this. I wish I hadn't have said that. I wish this. I would." Don't forget it. Let me show you a scripture. Turn with me to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. Now you need to turn there and mark this in your Bible. Isaiah chapter 65. Verse 17. Isaiah 65, verse 17. You got it? Mark it. Isaiah 65, 17. "For behold, I create new heavens and new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or ever brought to mind." That's right. So, that's what that says. I get new heaven, and the former things will not even be remembered about them. And then fourth, our loved ones, we grieve for them. Now, I'll tell you, like I told Don one day, when a loved one's gone, you cry a little bit every day. That's right. Nothing wrong with tears. I'll tell you this, dry eyes and cold hearts, not worth anything. But a broken heart and a tear once in a while is good for everybody. Good for everybody. And they don't want us to grieve for them. But they want us to rejoice in their graduation, in their promotion, in their victory. To die is gain. Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what the Lord said? In John chapter, chapter 14. I want you to look at this and I'll close. John 14. Our Lord was talking to the disciples about his death. And in John chapter 14, verse 28. John 14, verse 28. John 14, 28. Our Lord said, "You have heard how I said unto you, I go away." He said, "I'm going to the Father. I go away and come again to you. If you love me, you rejoice. If you love me, you rejoice because I said I go to my Father. And my Father is greater than all." That's where we're going. That's where we're headed. Going to the Father. So listen. When you hear Brother Mahan, it's gone. Don't grieve. I know you ought to, though. You know. But just be glad I'm with him. Now that's where I want to be, by his grace. And that's where you want to be, when he's pleased to take us home. All right, I hope that's a blessing to you. Thank you, Pastor.